look at every week, try to keep it as practical as we can. And this week we're going to look at the subject of anger. Anger. I don't know how many of you have a problem with anger, if anybody here has a problem with anger. That's just what the Lord laid on my heart. I know that that's an emotion that everybody goes through. I mean, you'd be lying to me if you said, oh, I never get angry. You'd be lying. Everyone gets angry. And sometimes we can help it, sometimes we can't. But if we let that anger and that emotion get the best of us, it starts to become a sin when it becomes out of control. And so what we want to do is we want to look at ways that we can control anger and other things. But Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Of course, Solomon's writing to his son, and he is highly concerned about his associations that he has, his friends that he has, the people that he's hanging out with. And that would be a concern for any parent out here today. If you have children, you're concerned about who their influences are in life. And many, many times, Solomon writes to his son. He starts out the whole book of Proverbs, and he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Watch out who you hang out with. And here he's going to tell him about hanging out with angry people and how they can become a snare to his soul. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, he says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Well, that's a big deal right there. You get a snare to your soul. Soul's the most valuable thing that you possess upon this earth. The most valuable thing that you possess. And anger can war against the soul. So I want to talk to you about anger this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you for this time that you have given to us to be able to worship you and look into your word and find some wisdom, Lord, because we are needy people. This evening, we don't have it all figured out. We are not all-knowing. We are not all-powerful. And we're in need of you this evening. So, Lord, I pray that you lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. I pray that we'd have open hearts and open minds and open ears to what is being said this evening. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Solomon is very concerned about the people that his son will be hanging out with, the influences that he will have in his life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33, he said, evil communications corrupt good manners. You can have all the good manners you want to in the world, and you can have a good life and be well-spoken and all of these things, but you get to hanging around the wrong kind of people, and it's going to corrupt you. I mean, you cannot overlook that by any stretch of the imagination. The people that you hang out with have a direct bearing on how you turn out in life. I don't remember the quote exactly, but it goes something like this. You are the five people that you hang out with the most. The five people that you hang out with the most, that's who you become in life. And so we should surround ourselves with the very best people that we can, the very best influences that we can. The same should go for your children as well. I mean, if they're hanging out with the wrong kind of folks, you need to get them away from those kind of people. But Solomon says here in these two verses, he says, make no friendship with an angry man. Don't make a friend with someone who cannot control his temper, cannot control his mouth, cannot control his actions. Don't make friends with that kind of person. And he said, with a furious man, thou shalt not go. Don't go with a furious man. You know who you should go with in life? You should follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior, and that's who we should follow in life. We should follow the Holy Scriptures and teach our kids to follow the Holy Scriptures and memorize the Holy Scriptures and know those things. He said, don't go with those kind of folks. He said, because you're going to learn his ways. What will an angry man do? An angry man can't control his temper. The first time he gets mad, he's going to fly off the handle and he's going to say something they shouldn't be saying. He's going to call somebody a name or something's going to fly out of his mouth, or he's going to do something that he shouldn't be doing, and you're going to learn the same thing, and before you know it, you're going to be doing it. I mean, we can find examples of this all over the country today. 2 years ago, I have a quote here from Matthew Henry. He was a pastor and a preacher from about 200-300 years ago. But he said about this verse, he said, our corrupt hearts. Now, you remember what Jeremiah said about our hearts. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, Matthew Henry said, our corrupt hearts have so much tinder in them, and that would be like kindling for a fire, have so much tinder in them that it is dangerous to have to do with those that throw about sparks of their passion. The human heart has so much hatred and so much discontentment in it and so much malice and all of these things, we don't need to get around somebody who's going to provoke us to do something wrong. The last thing we need to do is get around somebody who's going to influence us to do the wrong kinds of things, because we have corrupt hearts. You might as well just go ahead and face it. That's what the Word of God has to say. Now, I know what the world says. The world says, hey, follow your heart. You know what's going to happen if you follow your heart? You're going to get into a lot of trouble. You're going to get yourself into a world of hurt if you follow your heart. You should follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't go that way. 2 years ago yesterday, Dylan Roof, 21 years old, entered into the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 people, gunned them down. One of them was a senior pastor. Another was a state senator named Clementa Pinckney, if I'm saying that right. Now, why in the world would someone walk into a church where they're having a prayer meeting and use a gun and gun down 9 people in cold blood? You know what? We know what the problem was. He had a bunch of rage and a bunch of anger in his heart. And if you look back in his past, you'll find out that he was messing around the internet with the Aryan Brotherhood. And they were fueling the fire. And they made him angry, and he went out and did something stupid. Went out and shot up a bunch of people. Now that's 9 people that died because of somebody's anger. That's somebody's mom, that's somebody's dad, that's somebody's aunt, and that's somebody's uncle. You got 9 cold bodies laying in the ground because somebody got angry and went in and took it out on somebody. Now he's sitting on death row right now, and that's where he belongs. That's justice right there. He has no right to be breathing right now because of what he did. He killed 9 people in cold blood. That's justice, and that's what ought to be done. But he got a snare unto his soul. He got to messing around with the wrong kind of influences and got the wrong information, and it became a snare to his soul. You know what's going to happen to Dylan Roof one of these days? If he doesn't get saved, he doesn't meet Jesus Christ, he's going to pass this life and he's going to go to hell. Amen. That's where he's going to go. He got a snare to his soul. And he's not repentant about it either. You can look it up and read about it. He doesn't care. He said, hey, I wasn't crazy. I was in my right mind when I went into that church and shot those people up. 9 people. He said he was in his right mind. Hey, anger. Anger will make you do a lot of stupid things. Anger will make you say a lot of stupid things. You got to keep that stuff under control. Anger's a bad thing. You got to watch out for it. What is anger rooted in anyway? Anger is rooted in pride. Anger is rooted in arrogance. All of these different things. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that we ought to be temperate in all things. Keep our temper. Watch out for the things that we say. Watch out what kind of spirit that we have. Hey man, that's dangerous. Anger is dangerous. Dangerous. It's an emotion that can come out up in all of us. Each and every one of us have the potential to do something wrong whenever we let anger take control of us. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, hey, you can get angry sometimes. I mean, I don't think you ought to keep your anger bottled up all the time. I don't think you ought to do that. But you shouldn't let it get out of control. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know what happens when anger is unchecked and uncontrolled? Relationships are broken up. Marriages are broken up. Divisions come between relationships when that anger is unchecked and uncontrolled. You got to watch out for it, and I have to watch out for it. Anger, it says in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, is a work of the flesh. It is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is a work of the flesh. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Wrath. That's anger right there. That's uncontrolled anger. You know what happens when somebody has wrath? They did not control their anger and it came out in their emotions and they went out of control, just like this fellow we just talked about. That's wrath. wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What happens whenever you lose control of your anger and it takes control of you? You lose your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, that's a big deal right there. Amen. You do not want to lose your inheritance, do you? As a Christian, my goodness, God has got all kinds of good things that He wants to give to you, and you don't want to lose it by giving in to the flesh. Hey, anger's dangerous. Now, on the other hand, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and you don't hear anything about anger in the fruit of the Spirit, do you? The fruit of the Spirit is love. There's nine of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can do all that stuff all you want. You can't have too much love. You can't have too much kindness. You can't have too much patience. You ever heard the Bible say, now you're getting a little bit too patient there? No, of course not. Because God knows that we are sinners. God knows how we are. We need patience because we are impatient, and we need kindness and all of these things. So what about that anger? Anger. Proverbs 25, 28, same book, same author. He says, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He has no control over what comes into his mind, what goes out of his mouth, what happens in his life, because he has no control. Anger. Anger is a dangerous thing. So we must learn to control our temper and control our spirit. So if you have anger issues in your life, you should check the following things, your associations. Of course, that's what Solomon just told us here. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Your associations. Who are you hanging out with? Your temper, of course. You need to watch your temper. Check it. Check your temper and then check your heart, thirdly. First, your associations. Who are you hanging out with? Paul says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. He's talking about your friends and who you follow. Who do you allow to have influence in your life? I mean, influence can come in a lot of different ways. The people that you read on the internet, the radio stations that you listen to, people that you talk to at work, things that you watch on television, all of those different things, those are influences in your life that will bring fruit out in you, and you must watch all of those things. Ask yourself these three questions about your influences or your associations. Excuse me. Who are you following? Right? You could even write this down as a list. Who are you following in your life? Who are you following? What do they produce in you, and do they affect in a positive way or a godly way in your life? You should ask you those things about the people that you associate with in your life. Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, and he said that there were some that were troubling them in that church, in those churches. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, I cannot believe what you are doing in that church. Someone has affected you, and they have affected you in a negative way. They have pulled you away from the grace of Christ. They have pulled you away from the gospel, the grace of God, and they have added works to the gospel that I once preached to you. He said, you are my converts, you are my children in Christ, and here come some false teachers in, and they teach you a false gospel, and now you've gone back to the law. You've gone back to works. They have affected you in a wrong way. People can affect you in a wrong way. People on the television, songs that you like can affect you in a wrong way. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter number 4, verse 17 and 18? He says, they zealously affect you, but it's in a wrong way. He says, it's good to be zealously affected, but in a good way. And these people have been affecting you in a wrong way. So how about your associations this evening? The people that you hang out with and associate with, are they affecting you in a good way? Are they driving you closer to Christ, or are they pulling you away from Christ? Are they driving you towards holiness and righteousness or to worldliness? Which way would it be? We can be influenced from a variety of sources. friends and family. You know what God told Abraham? He said, get thee from thy country and from thy kindred into a land that I will show thee. He said, get away from your family because they're going to be a bad influence on you. Hey, that's tough. What if the Lord told you to do that? Get away from your mom and your dad, your aunt, your uncle, and go over there somewhere and live. You know why God told Abraham to get away from his family? Because they were idolaters and they were living as heathen. And God had a special job for Abraham, and he knew that they would affect Abraham in the wrong way. Amen. And if God wants to use you, he might tell you to get away from those wrong influences that you have in your life. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and live like a hermit. We don't ever talk to anybody. That's the wrong thing to do. But you gotta be careful who you are, your influences in life are. Television, video games can be a bad influence on you. They can incite anger. The internet, the radio, how about music? Music can incite anger or it can bring a calming effect. King Saul was comforted by the harp that David played. He used to have an evil spirit that would come over him. As a matter of fact, it was from the Lord. The Lord sent an evil spirit over Saul. And what happened? Well, David had to come in and he had to play the harp. It calmed him down. It soothed him. The evil spirit went away whenever David would start playing. That's the effect that music has on you. Amen. Now, what do you think about this heavy metal rock music? Do you think it's going to make you have a calming effect on you? Some of those rock bands that people listen to, hey, I know how it is. Rock bands don't make you feel comfortable, do they? They make you want to relax. Sip of tea or something like that? Of course not. They make you want to put your fist through the wall. That's what they make you want to do. I looked up some of the titles to rock songs. Now, if this doesn't incite anger, nothing will. I Hate Everything About You. That was the name of one of the rock songs. I don't know who that's by. I Hate Everything About You. Doesn't that make you want to love your neighbor? I mean, what? How would you like to do that? Honey, I'm gonna dedicate this song to you, and it's called I Hate Everything About You. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love you so much. Now, that would be a breakup song, wouldn't it? I Hate Everything About You. How about this one? Down With The Sickness. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Boy, just you can feel the love oozing out of that thing, can't you? Down With The Sickness. How about Bodies? Name of one. Dead Bodies Everywhere. Good music. Good music. There was another song. It's called Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. Music. You better watch out what kind of music that you let come into your ears. Does that kind of music, does it affect you in a good way or a bad way? Does it drive you closer to God or closer to the devil? Does it drive you closer to the world? Does it make you want to drink? Does it make you want to smoke? Does it make you want to go to church? You better watch out what kind of music that you have and the influences that you let into your life. Because just like Solomon said, make no friendship with an angry man. Hey, people make friendships with TV with TV stars all the time, and they don't even know who they are. Never met them in real life, but yet they have an effect on them. You must watch it. So our associations can influence us. You better check your associations. Ask about who you're hanging out with. The next thing you should check is your temper. Because some people have a temper, don't they? I mean, they just can't control it. You say one thing to them, and boy, they lit them right off, man. They'll let you know it, too. You know, I've said some stupid things out of anger. I'm sure everyone has. And then you think about it later, and man, I've thought about this before, too. Man, I wish I never would have said that, but it was out of anger. Did it out of anger. We got to watch your temper. Your temper is your state of mind or your feelings. And you must have self-control with your temper. Self-control. An angry person is an unbalanced person and they are completely out of control. They have no control over their temper, and something you say something to them and they're just out of control. But one of the nine fruits of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and then temperance. Now, what business does a Christian have doing losing his temper and throwing a big temper tantrum? He doesn't. He doesn't. That does not bring honor and glory to God, none whatsoever. You must have temperance. Temperance. Peter says that we should be diligent to add temperance to our faith. Now look over at 2 Peter chapter 1 for just one moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start in verse number 5. Now each and every one of us, you claim to be saved here this evening. You claim to have faith. You claim to have Jesus Christ. Now, we should not just stop at Jesus Christ and then that's it. Amen. We don't go any further. It's just faith and that's it. No, you're supposed to add something to your faith. Now, Peter says, add these things to your faith. Now, look at this, verse number 5. And beside all this, giving all diligence. Let's be diligent about it. It doesn't come automatically. God's not going to shower down a little bit of temperance on you. He's not going to do that. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's number 1. And to virtue, knowledge. That's number 2. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. That is self-control. If you have faith here this evening, you should add a little bit of self-control to your faith. You know what that does? That makes it a lot sweeter. That makes the Christian life a lot sweeter when you add things to it. Temperance, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, that means you got a lot of them, those things that you added. If they be in you and abound, what does it say? They will make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You add all of these things to your faith, you're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ a lot better than you did before. Hey, I want to bear some fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says there in that verse. I do not want to be a barren and unfruitful Christian. I want to add some things to my faith. And we should all want to do those things. One of those things is temperance. Look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, all right, well, let's say that you just get saved and you don't ever do anything. I'm not going to add anything to my faith. I'm just going to be saved and that's it. Pretty sad state. Amen. Pretty sad state. He that lacketh these things is blind. Can a Christian be blind? Yeah, he can. He can be blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He can get backslidden. He can forget all about it. Why? He didn't add anything to his faith. He just got saved and that's it. You know what's going to happen if you don't add something to your faith? God's going to chastise you as a son. Look at verse 9. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know what that's going to do? That's going to give you some assurance of salvation. Because someone who never adds anything to their faith, I know all about it, folks. You're going to go year after year after year, and you didn't do anything, and you didn't do anything. One of these days, you're going to look back, and you'll say, man, I haven't been to church in 5 years. I don't feel saved anymore. I just don't know if I'm saved anymore. You're not too sure about it. Well, who can blame you, man? You ain't been to church in 5 years. Don't ever do that. Add something to your faith. Amen. Do something. Be diligent. Amen. Be diligent with your faith and add something to it. Yeah. Don't just be saved and that's it. Amen. Hey, you ought to want to bear some fruit. And I ought to want to bear some fruit. So we must add some things to it. And one of those things is temperance. Have some self-control. Don't throw a temper tantrum. Have some self-control. Satan knows that we don't have self-control, and so he tempts us where we are most weak. Tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, he will tempt us for our incontinency, if I'm even saying that right. Big word. He's going to tempt us in that area. So when we add temperance, we will be fruitful. The other day I watched a sermon and a pastor lost his temper. Totally crazy. You know what he did? He started walking around down there in the audience. He started calling out people and telling them things. And he said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. You know what he said? He went to one of his church members in front of everybody and he said, you ain't worth 15 cents. That's what he said. I would never have gone back to that church after he did that. He said, you're one of the sorriest church members I have. You ain't worth 15 cents in front of everybody. He got on to the sound guy. He got on to the mother of the sound guy. He got on to the father of the sound guy. He lost his temper. I don't think anybody's going back to his church. You got to have self-control, because anger will bring out a lot of things out of your mouth that you wish you wouldn't have said. You've got to have some self-control. But your temper is connected to your heart. Everything that flows from you and me comes from our heart. It comes from our heart. Back over here at our text verse, we'll get back over here. Proverbs chapter 22. He says this: make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and thou get a snare unto thy soul. Everything flows from your heart. The soul is a spiritual part of man that has to do with your desires and your passions and your heart. All of the issues of life that have to do with you come from your heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that issues from your life comes from your heart. It's what you want to do. People do what they want to do. And that's where it comes from. Your life is made up of your desires and your passions, and your heart determines the issues of your life. And if you have a problem with anger, it's flowing out of your heart. I could tell you illustrations from the scriptures about people who did not have control of their anger, and it was coming out of a heart of hatred. It was coming out of a heart of discontentment. It was coming out of a heart of jealousy. And they lost it. And the anger set them off. What about old Jonah? A preacher was out there preaching, and he hated the Assyrians. The Lord told him, Noah, I want you to go to I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to the Assyrians. Excuse me. I want you to preach to the Assyrians. And he said, I don't want to go over there. I don't like those people. I hate those people. As a matter of fact, I'd rather go some other place. He went the other way. Went and hid down the bottom of a ship. But then you know the whole story. He ended up down the belly of the whale. And at the end of the story, he was angry because God had spared the Assyrians. He was so angry. And God came and questioned him. He said, I'd rather just go ahead and die because you spared those Assyrians. I wanted you to rain down fire and brimstone on those people because I hated them so much. You know what God said? Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? He said, I'd do well to be angry even unto death. He said, why don't you go ahead and kill me? Why? Because he was angry and he had hatred in his heart for the Assyrians. And there's that anger. He lit that hatred off. Man, he said a bunch of stupid things he shouldn't have said. What about old Cain? Full of anger. He got jealous because God had accepted his brother's sacrifice, and he got mad at God. And he ended up being a fugitive, and he ended up killing his brother because of anger. He didn't have control over it. Bible says that he was of that wicked one. The devil was his father in a spiritual sense. What happened to him? He took a club and hit his brother and killed him because of anger. Hey, anger's dangerous. Anger's dangerous. He was filled with jealousy. So what should we do instead of being angry? What's the remedy? We should exercise self-control. Control our temper. James 1:19-20 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. You're going to have wrath. You better be slow about it. You better have patience. And then don't let it get out of control. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He's a lot better than a strong man because he has control over his temper. He doesn't let things get to him. We should exercise self-control and we should exercise kindness. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Exercise kindness to one another. Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why in the world can we be kind, and should we be kind, and a Christian can't have anger towards other people in the wrong kind of way? Because we have been forgiven by God when we did not deserve it. So we must forgive others even though they don't deserve it. And if we don't, then we're sinning against God. We can't do it. So that's what we must do, is exercise kindness. And the final thing is exercise humility. Exercise humility. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Jesus Christ himself said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So we must watch who we hang around with, and especially our children. What are they listening to? And then observe their temper, and observe your temper and my temper as well. And look at your heart. How is it? We don't want to get caught up in anger and wrath and say things that we don't mean and we'll be sorry for later. That'd be the wrong thing to do. So how about your heart tonight? Is it right with the Lord? What's it filled up with? What is in your heart this evening? Because everything that comes out of your heart is going to be an issue of your life. It's going to direct your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,